and they brought the caveman. It's 9:04 p.m. on the East Coast. This is your host, the one and only Pogo Man from the Virtue Server. And it's time once again for another episode of Tarragon Radio. And along with me tonight, is my co-host. We're getting a little feedback. Don't worry about that, folks. We're just having a little technical difficulties. He is one-third of the leadership team of that awesome super crew. Eric on Dawn. He's mad. He's a Viking, from what I've heard. He's, well, he's Mad Viking!
Yeah, da 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 da. Yeah, da da da. Yeah, da da. Pogoman, you just had your first Paragon Radio halftime podcast and postgame podcast from the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
Oh, after the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history, I'm going to bed. Holy mackerel. Ooh, Lordy. Okay. I'm glad you asked that. I guess we're starting with, well, mixed feelings about the Super Bowl. First, congratulations to the Super Bowl Patriots for winning yet another Super Bowl. Their sixth Super Bowl victory since 2001. Since the 2001 season. Say, oh, they won another one. Well, you know what to the rest of the league? If you don't like it, do something about it. Guess what? My team, the New York Football Giants, they met them in the Super Bowl twice. We beat them!
And as much as I'm a New York fan, I just wish it wasn't that year, because that was the one game that stopped them from the undefeated season, and I could finally tell the Miami Dolphins fans to shut up!
But you can imagine the Patriot fans, how they would have been.
I wouldn't matter. I would be able to go to the Dolphins fan that bugged me for over 30 years and go, shut up.
Yeah, but what have they done since then? Nothing. Nothing. They've done nothing.
But they still talk about it.
Well, that's all they've got. Tell them, what have you done since then?
We're talking to Miami. I think one person said it best. Miami Dolphins fans are the Al Bundy fans of football. All he remembers is that four-touchdown game.
Four-touchdowns in high school. Think about, though. If the Patriots had won that season, and they'd still have all these other Super Bowls on top of that. And remember, the next time they went to the Super Bowl was against the New York Giants again, and they still lost. So, what's funny was, for that few year span, anytime they met the Giants, they lost to them in those couple years. Preseason, regular season, postseason, they lost to them. The Giants owned them. They couldn't beat the Giants for anything when Tom Coughlin was their head coach. But I do want to say this. Everybody's hating on the Patriots. Okay? But, you know, in this day and age, what's wrong with being a winner? You know? What's wrong? No, because the rules in the NFL, they set it up for parity. Which means that it's very hard to repeat as champion. They make it almost easier for a team to set up, okay, if you're a losing team, to come in, get better, to make your team better and better, and to win for one season. And then to drop down, okay, think of it as a roller coaster. You're at the bottom, and through the rules, the system, it's easier to build your team up and up and up and up and up, have a chance to win it all, and then you're going to slide back down, 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 hit rock bottom and build yourself back up, 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 and up, and up, and up, and up, and up. The Patriots have kept themselves up near that top for all these years. They've made, in the last 18 years, they've made 9 appearances in the Super Bowl. Yet it works out to like every other year. But there were years where they were no-shows. So it's like a 3-year block here, a 3-year block there. But still, 6-time winners in 18 years. okay? So I give them all the credit in the world. And the only two consistents on that team were Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, the quarterback. So you had your head coach, you had Tom Brady all this time, and then the rest of the cast of characters has more or less changed over the years, throughout the years.
But to clarify what I started off with,
yes.
On Dawn Radio, we actually decided to do something, you know, have a show in consistency with the Super Bowl, as in those
right.
who were interested, and believe me, for gamers, that's not a whole lot of people, but those who
right,
were interested,
right.
I was able to keep the score, and, you know,
it wasn't that
some
hard.
Fun as well. And it was fun.
Hold on.
And
wait.
I go, hey, wait a minute. I got an idea. Pogo, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah. So we did a halftime show. It was better than the halftime show they had from what I heard, from what I saw. Oh, as a matter of fact, next day I watched the halftime show on YouTube. Our show was a lot better. Trust me, folks. Our halftime show was a lot better. wait, you said you kept track of the score?
Yep.
How hard was it to keep go? It's still 3-0. It's still 3-0, folks.
Yeah, that was pretty much
oh.
it.
Wait, late in the third quarter. Oh, it's 3-3. Woo! Oh, my God. Late in the fourth quarter, it's 10-3, Patriots. Oh, my God, with 2 minutes left, it's 13-3. Oh, I hope I can remember this score. There weren't that many scores to keep track of. It wasn't like in years past where, you know, you had these high scoring games. Now this is what I want to bring up, why I'm conflicted. It started out, it was a very, very defensive battle. You had two defenses going at stopping the other team's offenses. Because on the Rams, you had Defensive Player of the Year, and you had the runner-up to Defensive Player of the Year. And Belichick, Coach Belichick of the Patriots, he started out as defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. And you should have – I'm not going to get into details now, but when he left the Giants, the coach, Bill Parcells, he never told Belichick. He had a heart condition. And 3 months later, he had to retire. And a lot of Giants players and fans said that if Bill Parcells had told Belichick, Belichick wouldn't have left. He would have stuck around. And he would have said he probably would have been the next head coach of the New York Giants. And that probably is history. And said Belichick went to coach Cleveland for a few years. And things just changed after that. Where Parcells had to retire, came back, Jets, this and that. And it was just one of those things like, you know, even though Parcells did great things for the Giants, the way he left. Why'd you tell him? I'm sure he stayed, he would have been the coach. But then all this led to, you know, Belichick coaching the Patriots. And I've always felt like if Parcells would open his mouth and just told Belichick, he might not have went to coach the Patriots, and history would have been much different. Can you imagine if Belichick would have stayed with the Giants and Brady would have coached the Giants all these years? Oh, my. Oh, my.
And then we did a post-game show afterwards.
Yes,
and that was even better
ahead.
Than what they offered.
But here's the deal. Wait, back to my thing about the defensive thing. Okay, so now it's a defensive battle. They're scoring. And for the last 2 years, the coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, he's been touted as this offensive genius, okay? And the Rams were scoring 33 points a game, okay? Now it's third and long, okay? They need a play. You need something to move the ball down the field. Just something, right? He decides to run the ball, which is basically a give-up play at that point. Late in the game, you know, they're only down by a touchdown. And I'm watching this, and what happens? The defense stops their runner for a 1-yard loss. And I'm going, third and long, you decide to run the ball, that is a give up play. The defense was ready for it. I'm like, wow, you have shell shocked the Rams. It's not now, it's a boring game. Because you just shell shocked this offensive genius into panic mode. He was panicking. He couldn't come up with a play. He was afraid to run anything. He couldn't come up with. You know, I'm like, for all his brilliance, all these brilliant plays he'd come up with all season for the last 2 years, and that's what you come up with? Not even like, I'm expecting like some kind of play to get him at least 10, maybe 12 yards to go for it on 4th and 10, maybe. No, that was a give up play. As soon as that, I just saw white flags going up on the Rams sideline. As soon as that happened, I said, Rams lost the game. I was like, that's it. I was like, that is it. It's over for them. They couldn't even fake punting. That's it. The game was over at that point. I was about to put Madden on my computer. I was about to put on my PS4 and play Madden the rest of the night. But. And play as the Rams in the Super Bowl, probably could have scored more. But it was just horrible. From that point on, it wasn't a defensive game. It was just boring. Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots did a masterful job. And it showed the inexperience of the Rams, that they were not ready to be there. I'm sitting there going, I think the Saints should have gone. The Saints had experience in the Super Bowl. They wouldn't have been shell-shocked. I think they would have put up a much better fight. Maybe they would have won. But that was that. So congratulations to the Patriots once again. Seriously, the entire playoffs on the AFC, on their side of the playoffs, they went against top offenses, and especially in the first half, they shut them down. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, they were the top offense in the AFC. The first half held them to 0 points. Granted, it went to overtime, but still held them to 0 points. They know how to turn it up when it's playoff time. Granted, they're in a very weak division where, like I said, there's four teams in their division. The other three teams are weak, so that's almost a guaranteed 6 wins. But they got in. Like I say, until they're knocked out of the playoff, until they're knocked out, don't count them out. We've seen it too many times.
All right,
there you go.
I
just want to say, hold on. Like I said, I'm sorry, I'm going on about this. The age of parity, their system, they rose above that. They found a way not to be parity. They found a way to be a dynasty for all this time. Okay. Moving away from football. I just want to get that out of my system about football. All right, now we can move on. I got that all out of my system. Hold on. Next topic. Everybody's sleeping.
All right.
Everybody's asleep. Okay, hold on. I'm surrounded by a bunch of people in Paragon chat. Thank you all for sticking around with me while I have that football talk. I think I scared some people off. Let's go through the list. Who stuck with me on that football chat? Let's see who's here with me. Starting on my far right, Nevermore, Bullet, Red Jaguar, and a whole bunch of people standing right in front of me who are AFK. Multigirl, April O'Hare, Night Kit, March O'Hare, Steel Cat, Cat's Paw. Sorry, I'm just looking for everybody. Haunted Trigger, January O'Hare. And let me see. I think that's it for now. There were a few more, but
remember, scroll back and do angle checks, and there may be some behind you.
I'm looking. There's no one up there.
Remember, you found that out the hard way.
No, it's empty up here. It's empty up here.
All right. Now, I'm in WCOC and Champions, competing against Bunny Knight, and so I'm all alone, nobody's here without me.
Oh.
But you gotta have friends. Okay, Shrek moment over.
Thank you, Donkey. Oh, and there's some kind of formal dance going on tomorrow.
Say the Huluwetta?
In I think in Paragon chat, there's a formal dance tomorrow, guys. Can somebody provide me with a link or tell me what the event is? I don't know. I'm sure they'll get
to
that's,
it. Yeah, that's with Herc. Yes, I remember
with,
now.
Yeah, Herc has a with the formal or something going on tomorrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm. The Hero Event Resource Committee.
Yes, I know what Herc is. I'm talking about the formal event.
Well, you know, I thought I was doing right by giving them the proper, you know.
Yes, that's very good. okay, wait. Somebody posted me the link. Thank you. I now have Z-Link. I have Z-Link, and now I could discuss it once I pop it open. It is here. Ah, the Winter Formal. The Winter Formal. 2019. A social function from the Heroic Enterprise Recreational Council. That's supposed to be here. It's Saturday, February 19th, at 4 p.m. Eastern, Pocket D, the Ski Chalet in Paragon Chat. That goes to 8 p.m. Eastern or 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific. The costume contest will be as follows. The Masquerade. Show up as your fanciest ballroom or formal tune. Come as a lady, countess, or baroness, or as a gentleman, a lieutenant, or duke. But the mask must be on. Then there's the Rogues Gallery, where some see a formal function, others see opportunity. Bring in your best highwayman or debutante grifter to clean the bourgeois' pockets. We will
I have yet to see on Champions or City of Heroes a proper Rogue Scholar jacket that has patches on the elbows.
Oh, I see. It wasn't done.
Oh, sorry.
We will also offer a costume race, and Crash Positron will be hosting their latest game with the help of our newest Herc recruit, Ripley Nevermore, who I believe is joining us. Ah, and it is. The new player mission is Igor's Big Decision, or Love Stinks. A new player mission starring Igor at the Winter Formal events. I hope I did that properly, Gabby, you guys. Nevermore's off to my right. Good luck tomorrow at the Winter Formal. Nevermore took the bow. Thank you. But I remember, because you know what? How many times? Thank you, shit. Good job. Thank you. How many times do I hype these things up for weeks and weeks? And then Sunday I go, oh, crap, I forgot the event was just. Or like half an hour after it's over, I'm like, damn it. And I had a costume. I had a costume already and everything. Oh, but if people want to call in tonight to discuss anything, maybe the event for tomorrow, the Super Bowl. Maybe not the Super Bowl, maybe comic books or stuff in general. There's a number. The number is 714-583-6908. Again, that number is 714-583-6908. Here you go. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, let's see. So let's. We've already talked about the snore. The snore bowl.
That was easy for you.
The snore bowl.
The sweet victory thing. I know there's something about sweet
victory.
Oh,
yes. Yes, yes. For those who were not interested in football, the Super Bowl pissed off a lot of the cartoon fans because they promised, they said Squidward's going to be in there. Squidward,
yes.
Tentacles of SpongeBob SquarePants. And they were tweeting, giving hints that the song...
Well, you have to explain why. Because the creator, et cetera, of SpongeBob SquarePants is from Atlanta, who passed away. And they said as a tribute to him, they were going to do something with Squidward, or they were hinting at that during... The halftime show, and there was an episode where they were doing a marching band for the halftime show. Wasn't it like a Super Bowl type thing? It was just an episode they did called Sweet Victory. That was the song they did. So they were hinting at that might be part of the halftime show, the entire song.
And there were tweets building up to it, that people was going like, yes, they're going to do Sweet Victory. They're going to do Sweet Victory. And then they get to the point where Squidward does say something, and you hear the intro horns. Then you see that big meteor coming down, and it's sicko mode.
Right, and then it goes to the next artist. And it's like, wow, are you kidding me? Well, you know what? That's almost as bad as the Big Lebowski tease, where the dude is told, I forgot what his thing was, he puts a date up about time for a change, right? And everybody's going, oh my God, we're getting a sequel. And it was for that beer commercial. It was just a beer commercial. Everybody thought it was going to be a commercial leading up to a Big Lebowski sequel, and it was for that Atros, the Del Atros, or whatever the beer was. It was featuring what's her name from Sex and the City, the dude from the Big Lebowski, and the most interesting man in the world doing this beer commercial that they changed their drinks. And that the wait staff was freaking out. They kept dropping their trays, jaws open wide, and it was like, that's it? That's your tease? Another one fans got pissed about.
But if you look on YouTube, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the best commercial tonight, or more action than the Super Bowl, coming up this season, next season, is NFL's 100th birthday or anniversary. So they did a commercial celebrating NFL's 100th. In the commercial, they had the top past and present athletes. Go find this commercial. Watch it. It's the best commercial. It had more action in this commercial than was in the Super Bowl this year. And if you go, there's actually a website for it. I think it's NFL100.com. You could see there's a list, there's pictures of every NFL athlete in the commercial. Even Sarah Gordon is in it. She was a teenager who was playing high school, playing football, Little League, until she got to high school, and then was told she couldn't play, and then she wound up starting high school football leagues for girls, and several states in the United States have all girls football leagues, and even in Canada they started this, and now they're trying to start all women pro football leagues. Outside of the lingerie proposals, which I think is a joke. They're trying to start real professional football for women. So, there you go. That's why she's in that one. Because people are like, who was the what was she doing in there? Also, was the first woman NFL referee. She's in that one. The commissioner of the league is in there. and just a bunch of big name guys in there. There's one cool moment. Tom Brady's in there with Baker Mayfield. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was the first overall pick. He has all five of his Super Bowl rings at the time. He goes, hold on to these for me, Rook. And he takes off all five of his rings and hands it to him so he could throw a football in the commercial.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. There's some really cool moments in there. You have to check out the commercial. It's a really funny commercial, so. And they're going to be showing it a lot this coming year, especially during the football season. Or the football season, anyway. So. All right. So, done with that. All right, we talked about Sweet Victory. I think next year they should show Sweet Victory during the halftime show.
Well, as I was about to say, on YouTube, someone did a little creative editing and actually mixed in Sweet Victory.
And it was a better halftime
Super Bowl
show.
Yeah, you saw it.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying it had to be better. This was like the worst. People said this is like the worst halftime show ever. It wasn't that great of a halftime show, I'm telling you. I watched it the next day. I'm like, I'm glad I missed it. Our halftime show was better. Not kidding. You know, I wish they would bring back commercial-wise. Do you remember the old Bud Bowl commercials?
Ah.
It was Budweiser versus
Bud Light.
Frogs
and the Lizards.
No. It was Bud Bowl versus Bud Light, and then some of the names were parodies of actual names of players in the league, and even the commentators got in on it with their voices, but they would like be parodies of their names to match like the beers.
Hmm.
I think they should bring those back. I miss those commercials.
Well, I was saying, yeah, bring back also the Frogs and the Lizards. They could have been huge.
Yes. Yeah. Well, look at Geico. Geico brought back all their old classic commercials this year. Over this Christmas, they said they're bringing back their, because you know what it is now? They're playing them because Geico wants you to go to their website and vote on your favorite classic commercials. I'm torn between the caveman, the hump day camel, and my favorite was the piggy who went wee 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 all the way home with the pinwheels out the window. Wee! Nevermore Blood Bowl. You know what? I had the original box. And I could never find anybody to play it. I know I gotta play the computer game. You know what's funny? I had the original box set for Blood Bowl. I had Dungeon Bowl, because in there you got the miniature sets for the dwarves. Because in the original Blood Bowl box set, you got the miniature set for the human team and an orc team. And then they had this thing, Dungeon Bowl, right? Where you get miniature set for an elven team and a dwarven team, right?
Right.
Then they put books out, supplement books, that gave you points on how to make your own team. And if you had, like, a type of team, you got, like, dirty tactics. And special team, like, special player cards. What was that? Like a power drill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nevermore. You had Chaos Wars. I think on my PS4, I could get Blood Bowl too. I could play it on my PS4.
Well, speaking of which, remember we had the discussion about the Champions Pen and Paper game? Did you ever get it?
No, I'm still waiting to get it. I know. I have to look into download. I just have to look into downloading it. I should just try and download it. I haven't got any update yet on, I don't think I haven't gotten any updates yet. Or I don't remember getting any updates yet. On Champions Now?
Yeah, because I'm still waiting to play Champions Now on Champions with Champions tunes playing Champions.
Oh, we will. Oh, we will. For folks who don't know what we're talking about, a while ago, we had a guest on the show. He was the president of Hero Games. And we were talking about the Champions Now game. And we explained our plan is this. I helped back the Champions Now game, which is basically going to be, it's a role-playing game based off the old pen and paper Champions role-playing game. And we're going to do, those of us in Paragon Dawn, our superhero group in Champions Online, we're going to play this game. What we're going to do is we're going to record it. This is how we're going to play it. We're going to play it on Skype. We're going to play it, though, when we video this, we're going to play it as our Champions Online Paragon Dawn characters. So what you're going to see is the members of Paragon Dawn sitting around as our Paragon Dawn superhero characters playing Champions Now. Playing other superheroes. Or maybe ourselves in Champions Now. So me, Pogoman, will be game mastering this Champions Now campaign. But I'll also be playing Pogoman in Champions Now. Mad Viking will be a player playing a player character version of Mad Viking in Champions Now. And the guy said, that is just so meta. And he wants us to record it and send it to him so they can put it on their website.
So as of now, we're just waiting for Pogoman to get the stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Now, we also talked about, you know, doing the City of Heroes role-playing game, and then we looked at it. There's not a whole lot.
I knew that they were putting a game out. I never knew they officially put the game out.
Well, it was, it was only one booklet. It was the of the players, it was only one manual. That's it.
Okay. It was just the City of Heroes role-playing manual.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And offered only one test game.
Oh boy.
Because if you remember, it was me, you, and Tony V talking about it, and I was going like, okay, you. Pocket D and a couch.
No! That's right. Did it show you how to make characters, though?
Yes, it did. A little confusing, but.
Who made the game? Was it Ronin Press?
I forget. It was when Tony V was your host at the time period.
A host. All right. I'm going to have to look this game up. All right. Oh, boy. All right.
Okay, all those listening up in the chat, Pocket D, you see the couch. What do you do? Let's see the reactions. I know there's going to be a delay on this one.
Type it in. I'll look for it in a moment. I'm just looking up the game. All right. Wow, this came out in 2011. All right, it's from Eden Studios. All right, this is courtesy of DriveThruRPG.com. All right. Waiting for it to load up. This is my load-up music.
Well, let's see some responses.
Okay, here it is. Oh, okay, they gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Oh, it's free now. I wonder why. A ready-to-run adventure and quick play rules for the upcoming City of Heroes RPG. Everything you need to basically play the adventure with ready-to-run heroes. Oh, boy. Just grab some dice and a few friends and head to Paragon City. Click here to read more. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all it says.
All right.
Reviews.
So let's go back.
I got some reviews. I got some reviews from 2019. This full game was never released, even in the years between this coming out and City of Heroes eventually shutting down. So this quick play pack is all that really remains of this particular tabletop adventure. It's interesting and tries very. Wait, where is it? Okay, I had to expand it. And tries very hard to replicate aspects of the MMO that maybe it shouldn't. Oh boy, a curiosity more than anything else at this point. We played City of Heroes and we're interested in how it might have gotten adapted to tabletop play. Well, it's free. Check it out. Maybe even try running a session. Don't plan on it going beyond one session though. There's lots of other much better and actually complete superhero games you can play. Wah wah. Okay.
Well, all right.
Let's see what
do they say?
Back
you see the couch.
Okay. You see a couch. What do you do? No one answered.
Not even one. Burn it down.
Thank God, Raisin's Cinema. Okay, guys. Oh, Nevermore. Depends on the couch. You go into Pocket D. You see a couch with stains on it. It's Pocket D.
Yeah.
What do you do? Oh, Bullet said, shoot it? There we go.
That is a proper answer for that.
Okay, hold on. Let's be more specific. You're in Pocket D. You see a couch with a cat girl on it. What do you do?
A couch with a cat girl, okay. Which will never happen in the orbit room.
Nevermore. Go straight to the bar instead. Run!
All right, that would be a saving throw for dexterity.
A saving throw for dexterity? How close is... How
yeah,
close
he's running. Yeah, well, you remember, this is Pocket D.
Well, how did you Pocket D?
The floor.
Oh, no, not the floor. Oh, no. Cattails. Well, sadly, you failed your dexterity roll, and you land into the arms of two cat girls.
All
no!
with distinctly deep voices.
My.
Okay, so, and one of them sounds Siamese. Meow. Yeah.
Meow.
But
I'm running away. I'm out of here.
So hopefully we get to the champions now, and who knows if we're able to successfully start YouTube our project in building YouTube, we may be able to.
Yes, I keep wanting to. It's not my fault. I tell you, keep reminding me on a Monday. I don't hear from you till Friday.
All right. Well, I mean, this Monday I had a little crisis with Dawn Radio, so.
Okay.
And I will say, if you want to listen to the replay, including the after party. New day on Dawn Radio. It is now Monday nights, right after the Greatest Generation podcast, which could be between 9 and 9:30
p.m. That's p.m. correct?
Yes, p.m. Namely because a whole lot of people were getting, you know, they just go like, I can't get up on Sunday morning.
Yeah, especially now.
Some people could, but then
there's
others going, "No, you kidding me?"
Yeah, especially now the football season's over. I have no reason to get up on a Sunday morning. No, I might as well just sleep in. Go away.
And you can listen to that at paragondawn.com/dawnradio, which at the moment there's Bunny Night, which is why, once again, I'm all alone.
That's right. Oh, what a night. It's fun night.
They do have cat girls here, but tonight it's
what?
Bunny Night.
Cat girls. Cat girls.
Okay, just how you did that here, I can see Eben Brooks doing a parody using Bad Boys. Cat girls, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you, cat girls?
Okay, and we have a Werther's Toffee discussion going on in the crowd here.
A what?
About toffee. They have a Werther's Toffee discussion going on here in the crowd.
They're talking about Werther's candy?
Yes. Toffee.
Oh, coffee.
Toffee.
Oh, we have
toffee.
A coffee.
Werther's Toffee.
Oh, toffee.
Werther's Toffee. Coffee candy.
Okay.
Sheesh.
But let's see. There wasn't really much this week about in the form of comic books and all that. I mean, yeah, we saw the Avengers Endgame commercial. We saw the Captain Marvel commercial.
Yes.
And we saw Alita commercial. But it was
I've been seeing those for weeks. It's just that Alita comes out on, Valentine's Day weekend. That's coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week it comes
but
out.
I mean, yeah, it was nice to see.
Yeah,
but
this,
it's
the calm before the. I don't want to say the storm. It's just this is that time, like. Winter is here. You know how we say winter is coming? Winter is here. This weekend, you know what the big event is? Sunday night, The Walking Dead comes back. But April, you've got the superhero movies start to come out. The comic book conventions start to come out. You know, things like that. This is like that month where everybody's just like, no, I don't want to say holding pattern, but everybody's just gearing up for it. Everybody's just resting up from, it's like January's over. This is like the buffer period now. Everybody's rested up from the holidays, and now everybody's gearing up for your convention season. Your superhero movie's going to start coming out. There was a short teaser for Birds of Prey. Very short teaser for Birds of Prey. I watched Supernatural last night. That was very cool. But then they said there's not going to be a new episode on for a couple weeks, for almost a month. Or a couple weeks, anyway. So, like I said, Supergirl won't be on this weekend. Won't be on until, I think, next weekend? Yeah, next
weekend.
Something
like that.
Next Sunday won't be.
Yep.
And then I think the other ones during the week. I didn't watch them this week. Like I said, I had a very bad week. I had bad headaches all weekend. I had to rest up all day today to make sure I could do the show tonight. Don't get me started. Otherwise, I'll go on a rant about the medical system in the United States and the runaround I've been getting for years and years and more. And it's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. There was something. There was something. I take it back.
Yes.
They talk about the Black Panther, the first superhero movie to get nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, okay. I thought we talked about that
and,
last time. But all right.
Well, no, we did this during the halftime show. Because chimed in right after that announcement? Bill Maher.
That's right. You know, it's almost got to the point with him. I don't care what he has to say. It's almost like I roll my eyes when he has a comment.
I mean, before
Go ahead.
All right. Before he doubled down about the tweet, you know, it's like, was Stan Lee great? And he's pretty much said, no, comic book fans are the reason why Trump got elected.
How do you figure that one?
And then after the Black Panther gets nominated for Best Picture in the Oscars, he doubled his double down.
Hey, Bill.
And the comic book fans are pretty much still stuck in their in the basement.
Really? Because, Bill, when was the last time you won an award? Because, to be honest, I don't give a damn about your show. Because guess what? There is a show that does political commentary in HBO that won an Emmy, and it's not you. It's I can't remember his name now. I watch it all the time. But it's not Bill Maher. It's that English gentleman.
John Oliver?
Oh, crap. I can't. Thank you, John Oliver. He won the Emmy. Not you, Bill. It was John Oliver. He won the award. And you know what? He fucking loves Stan Lee and Black Panther. And wow. Real time, I'm just looking at Bill Maher. His show's been on since 2003. That the new show. And this show was originally called Politically Correct on since 1993.
No, Politically Incorrect was his stage show.
Right. But it was originally a TV show. Hold on. Wait. He's not, all right, political. Right, but it was also a late night show called Politically Incorrect. Real Time with Bill Maher is the same thing. Politically Incorrect was on Comedy Central and then later on ABC, and then Real Time was on HBO. Basically, it's the same show, though. Basically, what I'm saying is he's been doing the talk show, but my point is he's been doing TV shows since 93. There's a point here I'm trying to make. I'm trying to see what awards he's won. I'm trying to see down here. If I could find it. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I'll have to go to Google. Hold on. There must be something here. Oh, okay. We'll just go to, I should have went to Internet Movie Database. Okay. This is what Bill has won for. A Primetime Emmy nominee for being on Vice. Wait, these are nominees. He won Outstanding Informational Series or Special tied on Vice in 2013.
That's it.
I'm looking. A lot of nominees. Wow. Lots of nominees. Okay. Cable Ace Awards. 96. Politically Incorrect won 1993. Talk Show Series. How do you win? 96. 95. He won Entertainment Host back in 95. In 94. Dave, what's the Davey Awards? Social Content Entertainment, Real Time with Bill Maher, Truth Serum, back in 2007. Still looking.
Oh,
DGA Award, Outstanding Producer of Variety Television in 2007. And he got a star on the Walk of Fame in 2010. Hi for being on TV for so long. But hold on. So technically, so he won awards in 93, 94, 95, right?
Yeah.
So that means he hasn't been award worthy since the early 90s.
Yep.
So Bill, shut the fuck up. You've been nominated, but you ain't won shit. Basically, hold on. Basically, everybody on Nighttime gets nominated for the awards he was nominated for. Okay? It's like, oh, Mid Viking, you have a Nighttime show, you're nominated for the award. You're nominated. Everybody's nominated. Okay? Because back then, there weren't a lot. You know what I mean? Okay, he was nominated for cable show host. And he still didn't win. Cable show host on HBO. John Oliver. Come on! He still didn't win! He, you know what it is? You know why he's making these comments? He's a crotchety, bitter old man. He's been doing this for so long. This is the only way, like people are saying, this is the only way he feels he can stay relevant. Stanley is relevant because he was lovable. He was likable. He encouraged people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher's thing was he's crotchety. He, you know, I hate to tell you. Well, then don't. Because Stan Lee encouraged people to follow their dreams, to go out there and go for it.
Yeah, but congratulations to Black Panther for being the first superhero movie to be nominated for Best Picture. Now, some say it's a political movement. Others saying, yes, the movie is that good. Your opinion in the middle. The fact is, there. Can't say anything else after that.
It's there. Yeah, exactly. It got nominated, so there. As our good pal Aldo would say, it's there. It got nominated. Did your movie get nominated? Tough.
Well, we'll have to give credit. Deadpool was trying to get nominated. All the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool.
Yeah.
I think
he's
still flying.
Once upon a Deadpool.
Yep. I think he's still applying.
Well, did he put for your Academy Award considerations at the end of the movie?
I'm not sure.
You know what? We should do an award show.
Well, what would we call it?
I don't know. The Paragons?
Huh? Something to think about.
I
just
looked
at the time, and we do have some.
I know, we have a couple of
updates.
Yes, boss.
Yep.
Yes. Mad Viking also doubles as station manager or the guy who keeps me in line.
Which really says something if people know me. No, I'm
Yeah, he says, I got to do what? Who's going to keep me in line? I don't know. All right. I'm just going to mute you for a few moments. I got two updates to read. Oh, wait. Let's do the obvious ones.
All right. Here's Valiance.
Go ahead. Ready? And
here's Valiance. Here is Valiance. Thank you. Next.
Okay. I have City of Titans update ready, and here we go. Thank you. Okay. Wow, we're moving along very quickly tonight.
Yep.
You want to do... should I go first? I'll go first. I am just going to mute you so I can... Fine. All right. I have two from Heroes and Villains, and then I shall bring Mad Viking on. Okay, I just want to do that without the feedback. All right, folks, we have two because we weren't on last week. I apologize for that one. All right, this is Friday update number 321, posted Saturday, January 26th at 1:18 a.m. This week, we've been continuing with work on the best way to make villain-themed content rewarding to play in spite of the limitations that a shared, persistent world imposes on it. Previously, we gave an example of how smaller-scale villain content could still have a successful outcome for the player, even if it required a bit of extra development work. However, the extra development work that would be needed for large-scale villain content that needed in success is much, much more intensive. A good example from City of Heroes was the Praetorian Primal Earth War. A cosmically powered villain launching an interdimensional invasion is a great classic comic book storyline, and it worked well when it was the players fighting against the NPC invasion, although, because of the scale, it still needed to have a noticeable aftermath. So it still required some extra development work to create small changes here and there to represent that. But switching the story template around to give villainous players the chance to become cosmically powered and launch an invasion of an NPC-defended Earth would be extremely challenging to make it have any other outcome than an almost total defeat for the players, for exactly the same reason as the Praetorian invasion was always going to fail. Either a complete or a partial success for the Praetorians would still have seen all or some Primal Earth under their occupation, which would then have required so much extra development effort to account for it and do justice to the two massively different states of the game world that would almost have had to have been split into two separate and permanent timelines with an equal amount of content to cover a Praetorian victory or a Primal Earth victory, effectively doubling the amount of time and resources needed to develop the game. Okay, sorry about the long pause. Okay, next up is Friday update number 322, which was posted Saturday, February 2nd at 12:19 a.m. This week, we've been continuing with work on various ways to try and push past the storytelling limitations that come with an MMO shared persistent world and the built-in advantage that it gives to stories that threaten changes to the game world, but always end with the game world unchanged in any significant way, which naturally heavily favors hero-themed stories rather than villain-themed ones. The use of a phasing system that can hide or reveal anything from small objects to characters to building to whole environmental features based on the actions that players take during a story is a very powerful tool to help overcome the static world problem of MMOs, but it does create its own problems with teaming, especially in a flexible and casual teaming system like in City of Heroes, where players could drop in and out, as any phasing system needs to be able to accurately track and sort out each individual player's current world state and the one that's being used by the team. Additionally, while phasing can help to add more visual enhancements to the storytelling, it also doesn't solve the problem of creating authentic, team-based comic book stories that can recognize the individual members of a team in a deeper and more complex way, rather than just the technical aspects of their character. Have a heroic, villainous weekend, the Heroes and Villains team. All right, bring Mad Viking back on. Okay.
Okay.
Those are your Heroes and Villains updates. Now, take it away, sir.
Now we go to Ship of Heroes, in which they're talking about the upgraded to engine version 4.21. In the middle of 2016, we originally began the development of Ship of Heroes with the then current version of the Unreal Engine version 4.1.3. As development proceeded, we upgraded our engine version several times, and with each upgrade brought new features, but also required a considerable effort by our coders and artists to adapt and upgrade our game code and art to the new version. For the last 9 months, we've been developing exclusively in Unreal Engine 4.18. But it is important to keep upgrading the engine version we use right up to launch, because games keeps adding great new stuff to the Unreal Engine, and we want to take advantage of what they got to give to us. We usually upgrade by one version at a time and also stay on one version behind the most current Epic release. But after 9 months without an engine upgrade, we're faced the choice of whether to jump to 4.19, which would be the normal progression, or do a double jump to 4.20. But we decided something different, to go jump direct to Unreal Engine 4.212, advancing three engine versions at once because the game features we will gain that are in the new one, including the replication graph feature, which allows code some server-side optimization for Ship of Heroes. The skilled coders and artists have done engine upgrades many times before, and we usually take a moment to tell all of you the advantage of the new version we're going to be. And once again, we're ready to provide the top-level summary. Moving from 4.18 to 4.21 means integrate over 400 improvements into the game code, which makes it visible to the dev team that are not visible to the players, which includes the following. Resolution supporting Lincoln resolution FPS for console games made in the Unreal Engine. They're not building a console game. And we already have a custom version of this feature coded working on Ship of Heroes, but have DR as an engine feature help us optimize. Advances in the Niagara FX system inserts the realism. It's possible we may use Niagara and Popcorn FX in the special effects, depending upon the situation. This gives us options, including with power set creations. They can pull the art and effects assets that Epic gave to the community from the game, Paragon, reuse them, and recreate them into the MMORPG. With the costumes from Paragon are not exactly usable as Ship of Heroes, they do give us an advanced 3D concept art to work with, and some really cool hair. the replication graph features a significant reduction in server work for the kind instant missions that will be the bread and butter. Still need to code the capabilities specifically as a delivery out of the box.
Oh, you just broke up there. Matt, you just broke up there.
Yeah.
Like about 10 seconds.
Can you hear me? Now I can.
Okay. Yes.
The replicate. Okay. Where did I drop off?
About 5 seconds ago.
All right. I'll just read this where I left off. The replication graph feature allows a significant reduction in server work for the kind of instant missions that will be our bread and butter. We still need to code the capabilities specifically to our game and does not deliver results out of the box. This is a tool specifically designed for high-volume multiplayer games. The introduction of the proxy LOD system in version 0.19 is an extension to the hierarchical LOD system. The system will help reduce draw calls and improve LOD performance and long range. And in Epic 4 of the Unreal Engine, you added a feature to detect and mitigate DDoS attacks. Boy, boy, can champions use that. Well, they need time to figure out how to integrate it with Super Heroes. We believe this will ultimately improve both the security performance of the game during a potential DDoS attack. And finally, Epic has given us a year's worth of bug fixes, LOD enhancements, animation improvements, sequencer upgrades, and debugging tools that our team are looking forward to add to Ship of Heroes. Now, we think this is important in terms of transparency, that our community should know what engine version we're using and why. Changing versions require a week or more of work from the dev team while other development projects are waiting. You should be able to hear why we're doing what we're doing. You're waiting for the game to launch, even as a version, and this sort of major effect to the dev team matters both for what they're doing now and what the game is going to do later. As we approach the end of the year beta launch, they're planning the beta launch at the end of the year, okay. We consider carefully at how many additional engine upgrades he's going to make, since the performance of UE421 matters a lot to us and not all of you. So, with that information on the graphics build, we get a release date of the beta at the end of this year.
Well, it's not a date, it's just a time period. But, it's a time period. The end of 2019.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they do show the difference, from then to now, particularly in hair graphics.
I see. So.
And you can check that out at chipofheroes.com.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, now that we've handled all the obligatory successor game, current game... Well, actually, we do have a current game update. One, from Champions Online, the only current superhero role-playing game we can play online. This week, the Flashbot Clockbox is on the high seas. Ah, ahoy, mateys! The Flashbot Clockbox be returning to your treasure chests. Ah, and this time, it be filled with booty. Booty, booty, booty. The Buccaneer Lockbox be coming to the collector's store until February 14th. And the blow boxes will be dropping in the game. Ah, the Collector Lockbox. The Aquatic Lockbox. The Blockbuster. You try and say this. The Blockbuster Lockbox. And the Corrosive Lockbox. Ah, and here's what you can be expecting for the Buccaneer Lockbox. First and foremost, ye must be having a Cosmic Key of Power to open this box. Cosmic Keys are available in the Zen Store. This box be containing 2 to 10 pieces of Drifter Salvage, a Booster Modification Case, and a Booster Box Level 4, and one of the following. A Surf Travel Power Unlock, the Dip Emote, the Joyful Dance Emote, a Buccaneer Costume Box, the Whirling Dragon Blade Power Unlock, a Crate of Questionite, a Rare Modification Case Plus Mercenary Box, a Rare Modification Case all in its own, a Crate of Drifter Salvage, Modification Case Plus Gold Box, or a Modification Case. There ye have it. And if you're wondering what exactly the surf, what is it? What is it called again? The surf travel power?
The surf travel power,
what it looks like? Yes. You're surfing on a surfboard with a wave underneath you. One time, one of me super group mates was dropping something off to me. All of a sudden, he comes traveling. What the hell is this? He comes. I swear, it was the coolest delivery service I ever did see. Out of nowhere, he comes speeding up to me on a wave of his own on dry land, on a surf. He just stopped really quick, delivered something to me, and tipped his hat and took off again. I said, I gotta get this travel power. I said, he could deliver surf and turf that way. But there you have it.
Oh, let's see. Yep.
Which means I'm hoping next week they have some really big, because they have the last couple of weeks, they really have sucky stuff since we had the big Halloween stuff going on. And then, the holiday thing. We had Santa Claus hanging out for a couple weeks past Christmas. And now, nothing. We'll have to wait to see.
You there? There you are.
I mean, I've been talking.
All right.
Let's see. What do we have last week? The 15% item and key sale. Ooh. Oh, the crystal sale and crafting week.
Nothing is on sale from what I see. Nothing is new.
No, this...
From what I can see.
No, this is all stuff. This is all stuff from like weeks past. Yeah, nothing is on sale.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing's new.
Well, remember, I'm on the game, so I'm seeing if there's anything of interest, and nothing really of interest. There's no sales.
Like, I hear people staying around doing the sleep emote. Even the NPC store people, they're staying around doing the sleep emote. This
wait, they're sleeping over there?
I don't know. I heard this, the people in the... No. In Champions Online. I hear the people in the Renaissance Center, the store emote people, the NPC store emote people, they're sitting there. They're doing the sleep emote. Buy something. Geez, come around and buy something. It's not our fault the devs are giving us sucky things to sell.
All right. Well, we got 15 minutes to go, and
we were talking about like how the last couple weeks has been really nothing in Champions Online, like event wise, and we were saying, remember over the summer, like every week they gave like three or four things, and it was like we couldn't keep up with it. Like, hold on, slow down. I don't have enough help. Keep up with all stuff. Play all day. Just stop. Now it's
right, well, like
it was, anytime.
Now we got 13 minutes here, and at that 13 minutes, I do hang up, so I can't be able to help at an after party tonight.
No, I was going to say there's no after party. Quick news from Walking Dead. I know I mentioned it earlier. Dana Michonne is... she will be exiting the series after season 10. She signed a new deal to appear in a more limited capacity for the recently ordered 10th season. She's only set to appear in a handful of episodes before exiting one of the network's flagship franchises and transitioning to the upcoming trilogy and movie spinoffs, featuring Andrew Lincoln in the lead role as Rick Grimes. The 40-year-old actress' character has been romantically linked with Grimes since season 6. The second half of The Walking Dead season 9 finds our groups of survivors, both old and new, continuing to feel the impact of events that took place during the 6 years that have passed since the disappearance of Rick. Many of the characters have become strangers to each other and in some ways strangers to themselves. What they do know is that they are in undeniable danger. They will soon realize the world just beyond does not operate as they thought. The group's rules and ways of survival no longer guarantee their safety. A whole new threat has crossed their paths, and they soon discover it's unlike any threat they have encountered or endured before. The group will start to question what they think they see. What may appear to be normal in this post-apocalyptic world could actually be more disturbing and terrifying than when the apocalypse first broke out. All that is certain is the stakes are high and numerous. And The Walking Dead will start this Sunday at 9 p.m. February 10th.
Okay.
Here you go.
Which is tomorrow. Oh, no, tomorrow. 2 days from now.
2 days from now, yes. Sunday night. Yes. The Aquaman Blu-ray swims home this March.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's going to hit platforms on March 5th before DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, HD release on March 26th. Special features on the home video release of the film are going deep into the world of Aquaman, becoming Aquaman, James Wan, world builder, Aquatech, there's a whole bunch more. I know we want to get through some news really quickly. One bit of sad news, if I can get up to the top. I'm sure you guys heard of this. Oreo the Raccoon, inspiration for Guardians of the Galaxy Rocket. Galaxy's Rocket passed away this week. The animal that served as the visual inspiration for everyone's favorite pint-sized hero, Rocket Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy, passed away after dealing with a short illness. The news was announced via the official Facebook page of the animal sanctuary he called home at the time. Our hearts are broken as we have lost our best friend, our guardian of our galaxy, Mr. Oreo Raccoon, the organization wrote. Oreo passed away in the early hours of this morning after a very short illness. Many thanks to our wonderful vets for their compassion and care. Have fun up there over the Rainbow Bridge, my darling. I know they will all love you as much as we do. We will miss you so much. Oreo helped the special effects animators capture the motions and behaviors for Rocket, the Guardian's hero, voiced by Bradley Cooper, and last seen in Avengers Infinity War. Rocket was created by Bill Mantlo and Keith Griffin from Marvel in 1976. And, of course, all these posts will be put on the Facebook page, our Facebook page after the show tonight. So if you can check, there's some
there you go.
Pictures of Oreo.
And I'll put in the edited Sweet Victory Super Bowl bit as well.
Yes. And then, of course, there is an Avengers Endgame promo picture I'll put up, which fully reveals their new costumes. And, of course, the big news is that this movie is supposed to go over 3 hours. It's going to be the longest of the MCU movies so far. And, wow, this one's taking forever to pull up. So if you have any other news, here we go.
Yeah. If it's long, there will be an intermission in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I have heard that. They're going to throw an intermission in, so that should be cool. It's still clocking in a massive 3 hours, they're saying. Let me see if I can pull that story up.
And you know there's going to be that one IMAX that's going to start all the way back to Iron Man, do all the movies.
Oh, my God. That would be a week. That's a week festival, man. A week-long festival, I mean.
And when these guys, for starters, if they go back to back, they can't. But yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of legs that are falling asleep.
Okay, the only thing that looks different for this, I could tell, the Avengers picture is Hulk looks like he's in a full costume. The pick. I was going to open the thing about the Endgame story. It's still clocking in a massive 3 hours. That's the only other thing. And it's telling me I have to wait for that page to open, so I'm just going to... I'll try and get that one open. You guys can read it at your leisure. Don't know. Nothing else is opening, so do you have anything else you want to discuss while I'm opening pages, sir?
Not that I can find.
Way to go! Okay, I got something here. I got one here. Gotham showrunner, he talks Batman's appearance in the finale. The producers of Gotham plan to give fans the payoff they've been waiting for, the full reveal of Batman himself. During the TCA press tour, showrunner John Stevens confirmed that Batman will be featuring Gotham's finale. Stevens also indicated that Batman will play a large role throughout the entire episode. Stevens went on to note that the bulk of the finale takes place 10 years after the series. He's in the episode, not just in the last scene. explained Stevens. The last episode is one scene in the timeline of the rest of the season, and then the rest of the episode is in the future. It almost feels, in a weird way, like another pilot.
You did remind me, though. You did remind me, though.
I wasn't.
Go ahead.
This version of Batman will be portrayed by someone who can display the physicality of the Dark Knight. However, David Mazouz's face and voice will be used for close-ups. Okay, go ahead. That's it. That's what I wanted. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. When it comes to Batman, people are finally getting their wish for the upcoming Batman movies. It will not be Batfleck.
Then who will it be?
Don't know yet. It just will not be Batfleck.
Okay. I do have more Guardians of the Galaxy news. Chris Pratt says Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will use James Gunn as the script. Although James Gunn won't be sitting in the director's chair, Marvel continues to promise that the third volume is going to happen. Gunn is currently working for the Distinguished Competition, as they call it, Distinguished Competition, DC, on Suicide Squad 2. But if it's any consolation to fans, his influence will be felt when Marvel resumes production on the next installment of their cosmic franchise. Star Lord himself, Chris Pratt, said as much during a recent interview with MTV News. He addressed the elephant in the room while plugging his role in this week's The Lego Movie 2, the second part. Pratt had nothing but praise for Gunn's script for Guardians 3 when he insists is off the chain. Obviously, Pratt owes Gunn a lot, since the first Guardians film established him as a viable action star after he spent several years starring as Andy Dwyer on Parks and Recreation. But when asked how he'll feel heading into the project without Gunn at the helm, Pratt seemed very optimistic. Let's see. Well, I love James, said Pratt. I'm loyal to James. I love him so much, and we're going to deliver the movie. We're going to give the fans what they deserve. I think it's in the nature of the Guardians of the Galaxy to come together and get the job done, and that's what we'll do. Okay. Unfortunately, Disney ignored their request, and the film was placed. Okay, Travis Knight, Adam McKay, and Taika Waititi were all rumored to be contenders to replace Gunn. However, none of these rumors turned out to be true.
And that also reminded me of something. Now,
yes,
we know. Remember all the jokes we said about Dave Bautista making all those comments, and we were saying, "Yeah, his character's dead."
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In the comics, Drax is dead. This is a little foreshadowing.
This is a little foreshadowing. Oh no. Wait, hold on. I'm having a problem. I knew it. I had too many windows open. I can't get back to the studio. Come on. Wait a minute.
Well, we got less than two.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Hold on a minute. Now, what did you say?
Drax is dead in the comics.
Wait. Don't say it yet. Wait, what did you say now?
I said Drax is dead in the comics. A little foreshadowing. And someone's going to say this is a spoiler, even though it's been in the papers and in movies and in news for a month.
I just lost it. I came back here and everybody's gone. Where'd everybody go?
I guess it's time to wrap it up then.
I was busy reading everything. Nevermore, so God, as you played that I had the gif of Patrick Stewart during the mild shock. Laugh my ass off. Well, you know what's funny? For a long time, everybody who was in front of me, they were AFK, so I think they tuned out. I don't think they were here the whole time.
All right.
We have 10 seconds. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Have a super weekend. Read those comic books. Go see the superhero movies. Watch those superhero TV shows. They're all over the place. Or get ready to watch them coming up in March. We will try to be on next Friday night. We'll see you then. Be super. Have a good one. Say something in closing.
Say goodnight,
Gracie. Say something in closing. Goodnight, Gracie. See you next time, everybody. You guys rock. We love you all. Without you guys, me and Mid Viking would just be talking by ourselves about things we talk about anyway, forever and ever and ever. I'll try to come to the event tomorrow. Let me show you my outfit before you guys leave.
All right, I gotta hang up, so I will talk to you later.
All right, I'll talk to you later, sir. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. All right, guys, before I leave, I'm trying to show somebody an outfit. Oh, sorry, guys. We're still talking, I guess. All right, everybody. We're out of here. Have a great week. They like my mask. Okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to try to make the masquerade ball tomorrow. Have a great weekend. Hopefully, I'll be there. See you all next week. Bye.